Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Isn't it something that in over 2,000 years we haven't figured out what we feel about taxes? I've always had a dance with the IRS. Ever since I became a pastor and they told me that my taxes were very complicated, I went to H&R Block my first year and found out how much it would cost for me to get them done. And I figured I was smart. I had a calculator. I could figure this out myself. So each year I would sit down at tax time and I would wait till April 15th to send the return in. And I would do as best as I could with the calculator, and my calculation seemed right, except each year I would forget something. And that's why I really appreciate the Internal Revenue Service, because I really used their services. I would send in my form, and they would helpfully audit it and tell me that I owed $250, and I would send the $250. The next year I would send it in, they would audit it and say, you sent us too much, and they'd send me back my $250. And this went on year after year. We had the dance. And one year I'd owe them, and the next year they owed me. So we kept transferring the same amount of money usually year after year. That ended when my husband finally took over the taxes. So for the last few years, ever since we had to get them in early, and he knew that I would be useless getting them in early, he took them over, and I haven't heard from my friends at the IRS. And it's kind of sad because I enjoyed figuring out, was I going to owe or was I going to get a nice surprise in the mail? Now, I don't mind paying taxes when I see Highway 42 getting repaired. I don't mind paying taxes when I see when the bridge failed and the federal government moved in and fixed our bridge over in Green Bay. I don't mind paying taxes for that. I don't mind paying taxes for our public servants. And if I get upset about how the government is using my tax money, I have a great privilege. In November, I can vote them out of office, or I can vote for a change, or I can vote against a referendum. We have a great privilege here that when we don't like what we see, we can vote. And some of us vote with our pocketbooks. It's a great thing. But back when Jesus was on earth, you did not vote Caesar out of office. He did not care whether you wanted to be taxed or not. He did not care whether you appreciated what his taxes were being used for. And usually the taxes were being used for the war machine. And you can understand why the people were so vexed with paying taxes, especially the Jewish people. Do you realize the irony? They're paying taxes for their own oppression. The people in Jerusalem were oppressed. They didn't want Roman rule, and yet they were forced to pay taxes to the emperor so that the emperor could send Pilate and his ilk to keep them oppressed. It's no wonder they despised Roman rule. It's no wonder they despised paying taxes. And yet they knew that if they didn't, unlike us, where we can have a vote, they couldn't, and if they didn't pay taxes, they would either be killed or thrown in jail. Now, that hasn't changed much. We don't kill them, but there are people who, if they don't pay taxes, will go to jail. So they had the perfect thing to trip Jesus up with. The Pharisees and the Herodians decided that they would team up. Now, these are two groups of people that despised each other. They hated each other, but yet they teamed up because they hated Jesus more. And so here's an opportunity to trip Jesus up. If he says, yeah, it's good to pay taxes, that's the thing to do, then the Jewish people would say he's a traitor to his own kind. If he said we shouldn't pay taxes, then they call the Roman authorities and say, lock this guy up. And so they come to trip Jesus up, and they said, Jesus, and the first thing they do is they flatter him. Now, it's wonderful to get compliments. But if the compliments don't come from very close friends, beware. Because usually there's another thing that people want to do. These people started to flatter him. We know you're a good guy. We know you're very fair. We know that you're from God. Now, answer this question for us. And of course, Jesus was too smart for that. And he said, why do you put me to the test? You don't want to know this answer. And his answer was very simple. You render to Caesar what is Caesar, give to Caesar what is his, and give to God what is God's. Now that's the bottom line. But what is it that we give to God? What is God's? And I would put to you that Caesar is a lot easier than God. That our government is a lot easier than God because our government gets a percentage. What is God's? You know the answer. It's everything. God owns everything. The life that I live now is God's. The air that I breathe is God's. The money that I earn is God's. The intelligence that I had comes from God. Every good gift, the Bible says, comes out of heaven from God. He owns it all. And so when Jesus says, give to God what is God's, he's saying, give him it all. Give him everything. And the only difference is God gives us a choice that Caesar usually doesn't. And we have a choice to give it to God. The people that Paul wrote about in the Thessalonians knew this. And when they gave it all to God, they were persecuted. When they said, we're going to turn it all over, and we're going to reject the culture of this time, and we're going to reject idols, and we're going to worship the one true God, the Bible says they were persecuted, but instead of saying, you know, this is a rotten way to treat me, the Bible says they received God with joy. Because when we know that everything we own is God's, it gives us a very different perspective. Then when people are in need, we don't grasp and say, but this is mine, I earned it. We give it away because we know it's all God's anyway. When we get into trouble, we know that our lives are in God's hands. We give it all to God. He owns it all anyway. And I guess what is good about understanding that is it frees us from a lot of grasping. It frees us from a lot of worry because it's all his. I wonder if tomorrow, when we get out of bed, if we say to him, God, this is yours anyway. My life is yours. This day is yours. You've given it to me. I'm going to give it back to you. And we live in that reality just for one day. I wonder what difference it'll make. Give to God what is God's. He owns us. And sometimes it's good for us to remember that and understand that. And then we can live in that peace. We can live in that joy. We can live without worry because we understand that. The Thessalonian people were living at a very difficult time. It was not easy to name the name of Christ. It meant a lot of sacrifices. And yet they were joyful. How much more in these times, when we're in a beautiful place, when we have food on our table, when we have a roof over our heads, can we say, it is all yours. Do with me what you will. Do with what I have what you will. How will that transform us? I challenge us this day, if for one day we can live in that reality, come back next week and tell me how your day was. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you own my life. You own everyone sitting here today. You own the air and the sky. Help us, Lord, to come into that reality. Help us, Lord, to be your children and to have an attitude of generosity and gratitude each and every day. Help us to live even one day knowing that you require all of us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.